The holidays are a joyous time of year. There's always a lot of anticipation, getting or giving the right gift, cooking, shopping, etc. You're opening presents, you're spending time with family, you're putting ornaments on the tree while White Christmas plays through your cozy home. But for the McFerrin family and their little daughter Genevieve, the anticipation wasn't a present wrapped under a tree. It was waiting for a phone call. On this Live, Learn, and Play episode, we talk with Megan McFerrin, Genevieve's mom, about the difficult diagnosis they received about Genevieve and what true Christmas miracles really are. Please like and subscribe to the Live, Learn, and Play podcast, and also subscribe to our new podcast, The Doc Talk, a physician-based podcast that discusses everything from leadership to medical research and professional growth. Continue looking for new episodes from both of our podcasts, and as always, stay safe, wear your masks, and socially distance during this tough holiday season. Now, here's Megan. On this episode of the Live, Learn, and Play podcast, I'm joined by Megan McFerrin, and she is going to share her story about her daughter, Genevieve. And we were looking for, because it is the holidays, we were looking for a patient story that had a holiday theme or something to do with the holidays. And so we had this family recommended to us. And so I've just I've been talking with Megan about her story and her family, and she has a very special story. So we're glad that you're part of our podcast today, and we're thankful that you're sharing your story.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here today.
So we like to start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and especially Genevieve.
Sure. I'm Megan. My husband and I have been married for 12 years. And Genevieve is our oldest. She's 7 and she's the only girl. She has 3 little brothers. Maverick is 5, Tate David is 3, and Miller is 1. And Genevieve really is just one of the biggest gifts we've ever gotten. We really struggled with infertility before getting pregnant with her. And so we just had no idea, the kind of gift we would be given with her and then following her 3 brothers after that. Genevieve is actually our shy child. She's probably the one who's going to sit back and be the observer. But also with that is she's very much a caretaker. She is a little mother to all her brothers, and she's very attentive. Since she could talk, she said she's wanted to be a doctor, and so she's just very quiet and reserved at times, except for with the people she's most comfortable with. But she really never misses anything. She's so attentive, and really it loves to love people, and that's one of my favorite characteristics about her.
Well, especially being the oldest sister of 3 boys, I'm sure she likes to be the mother hen sometimes. Let's talk about also what your journey, what brought you to Arkansas Children's, and your unique story that really started in the middle of the holidays, and especially the day after Christmas last year.
Right. So Genevieve's been diagnosed with leukemia. And around the holidays last year, really between Thanksgiving and Christmas of last year, is when we really started to notice that something was off. We had done some other testing and some other ruled out, flu and strep and mono and the normal things you would rule out when your child wasn't feeling well. But things continued, and she was lethargic and running some intermittent fevers and just not acting like herself. And my mama gut told me something was off. We have a physician in our family. My uncle is a family practice doctor. And, he encouraged us over the holidays that, if we thought something was wrong, we should go ahead and get that checked out. So we had scheduled an appointment with her pediatrician to do some blood work and maybe, rule out some more issues. However, due to some holiday break and his scheduling, he was booked up until after Christmas. So my uncle said, well, you know what? Not to step on anyone's toes, but why don't you just bring her down here to my office and I'll go ahead and, do the blood work and we can at least get the ball rolling on things. So we were talking about doing that. And in before we made the decision to do so, when she kind of seemingly started to get worse. She was feeling pretty tired every day, running fever almost every day, but with no other symptoms. So we decided to get, you know, the blood checked. That was about 2 days before Christmas or the week of Christmas. So it was kind of challenging to try to enjoy the holidays and to have all these activities with kids and things, knowing that that kind of overhead feeling of something more serious is going on here.
I'm curious how the holidays were like for the other three children, because you had to worry about Genevieve not feeling well, but also keep the holiday magic and fun going for the other three little ones. How did you manage that?
It was, now that I look back on it, it was a lot harder than I, you know, maybe thought about it in the moment, because we did try to keep the normal, you know, the normal activities. We wanted to drive and see Christmas lights and bake Christmas cookies and, you know, go to the activities. She had a school Christmas play, you know, all these things that we're trying to be a part of. And I remember in a way that we kind of just pushed her along. And you know, and if I'm honest, I felt guilty about that for a lot of times, because I just like, oh, you're just tired, or, you know, not really chalking it up to her truly not feeling well, just thinking, oh, maybe she's just had a long day at school. And so I'd say, it's okay, come on, let's do the family activity. But then, and she tried, she really wanted to have a good time. And I think that was so hard. What was so hard was seeing her wanting to have a good time and trying to in the moment, but then a few minutes later, you know, laying on the couch or not feeling well. So it was challenging now that I look back on it, for sure.
So as a mom, what was going through your mind on Christmas Day with everything else, with a family, with a house full of kids and presents, what was going through your mind as you were waiting for results?
You know, it was hard, because I was trying to do both. I really wanted to have a great Christmas and have my kids experience a great Christmas, but I was also scared and worried. So I really tried to compartmentalize things for that day. And I'm always the positive one and trying to think, you know, positively. I have a saying, we have a saying in our family where I say, we're not going to borrow tomorrow's clouds for today's sunshine. And so I would say that, you know, I'm not going to worry about what I can't control right now. But honestly, I was scared, you know, I was scared that I knew that in a minute, this moment, I was trying to capture just what I had little left of our family, because I knew it was about to change.
Did you have a feeling that something was seriously wrong?
I did. And really, honestly, I knew it was cancer. By that point, I've worked in the medical field myself. My best friend is a nurse. I had talked to her. And although I was really leaning towards maybe it's just an autoimmune disorder or something like that, in the back of my mind and my heart of hearts, I knew it was cancer.
The day after Christmas, when most families are playing with toys and finishing opening up the gifts and enjoying everything, what was your family going through?
Well, let me back up to Christmas first. We were preparing our Christmas dinner to all sit down as a family when my uncle called with the results of the blood work. He just couldn't rest, and he had gone down to his office to get the results. And he sat on the phone. He said, Meg, I didn't want to have to call you on Christmas, but if this was my child, I would want to know as soon as you know, I knew. So, and the way he described it to me, he was very careful with his words to me, but he just said, something is attacking her bone marrow and we need to get this taken care of. He said, I'm going to call your pediatrician in the morning, but likely we'll just have you go straight to Arkansas Children's Hospital, but I'll call you back in the morning. So I remember even kind of pushing around my food on the plate and just struggling to enjoy dinner. And you know, my husband and I not talking too much about it in front of the other, you know, front of the kids. But knowing that when he said attacking the bone marrow, we knew that was something more serious. And so, we tried to carry on, you know, as normally as we could, put on our brave face for our kids. But that next morning I, you know, had to make phone calls and arrangements for all my other kids for the day. And we packed bags preparing to stay. And my uncle called and he said, yeah, you need to go to Arkansas Children's. I've talked to her pediatrician. That's the best thing to do right now to get quick answers. And he said, pack a bag and be prepared to stay. and, you know, asked me what time we could get there. So we spent the morning rushing around, packing bags and preparing our kids for going to grandparents' house and, you know, things like that to be cared for. And I particularly remember I had a moment with Genevieve when I just looked her in the eye and I said, you know, we're going to have to go to the hospital. We're going to have to go to the emergency room. Uncle Bart is concerned about your blood work that you did a few days ago, and we just need to get some answers, and we need you to feel better. And I remember her saying, I'm ready to feel better. And she said, okay, you know, okay, we'll do whatever we need to do, Mom. And so that's what we did.
And she was six at the time?
She was six.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell us that first, when you first came to Arkansas Children's, what was that experience like?
Really, I think Arkansas Children's is the best of the best. You just don't get that kind of care anywhere, honestly. The doctors had called ahead, so the ER knew we were coming. And so they knew our name when we walked through the door. They knew who we were. They knew what was going on. And then from just the first nurse to the last one we dealt with was attentive and kind and, you know, real attentive to her because she was okay till we got there. Then she started to present a little, be a little nervous about what was going on. And they were so good and so attentive and kind to, you know, really make her feel comfortable, make us feel comfortable. It was a really great experience in spite of such a difficult circumstance.
And you said earlier that your family has been healthy. So this was really your first visit to Arkansas Children's besides a couple outpatient visits. So that is, I mean, that's a big visit to come with a cancer diagnosis and that be your first experience.
Yes. Yes, it was a pretty big deal. I mean, up until right before coming to the ER, Genevieve had never had an antibiotic in her life, like not an ear infection, not an anything. And so this was all big for us to walk through the doors of an emergency room, knowing we were about to have probably the, you know, scariest day of our lives, in the most medical deals we've ever had to deal with. So that was a big deal.
So tell us about your care team and what type of treatment plan they set up from the beginning.
So we have Dr. Douglas is our oncologist, and we had him from the beginning. So once the ER docs came in and told us that it was looking like cancer, that they were going to move us to the oncology floor 4K there at Arkansas Children's, and then we would meet with our oncology team and, you know, get some care from there. So it really wasn't until the next day on the 27th until we really met our team and got our whole plan. By the time we got up to 4K, it was the evening of the 26th. And they kind of just settled us in for the night knowing we would have a pretty big day the next day. And that's exactly what happened. Friday the next day is when a whole team of, you know, the oncologist came in and just spelled everything out for us. We didn't have any answers other than it looks like cancer. So until they came in the room, then they were able to tell us the type of cancer and really map out a plan for us. And of course, that was an emotional moment as well. It was emotional in the ER clearly the night before. But then, you know, hearing all of that, and I remember the doctors asking, they said, do you want us to talk in front of Genevieve or would you like to go to another room? And David and I had decided that, you know, it was best to be straight with her. We weren't going to hide anything. And so they did a really great job of talking to us, but also explaining things to her on her level, you know, too, because we wanted her to hear it. We didn't want to sugarcoat what was going on. We just chose the route of we were going to be honest and be open about what was going on. And, you know, though they were so kind, and I remember saying after that they spoke with such grace and, you know, to us and such compassion, just in every word that they said and every approach. And we were hugging them by the end of the session because these doctors and these nurses had just given us the worst news of our lives, but had made us feel so comfortable and so confident about where were we going from this, you know, from this day forward.
Do you, what were Genevieve's, some of her first thoughts? Do you remember anything that she said or did?
You know, she's my observer child. And so I know she didn't miss anything, but she's kind of likes to process things on her own before she's going to ask too many questions. And so I remember after everybody left, I asked her if she had any questions or if she wanted to talk about it. And at first she said no. And it wasn't until later that night, and I was giving her a bath there in the hospital. And she said, so the doctors said that I couldn't go back to school right now. And I said, right, we need to get you some medicine to feel better, and we're gonna need to do these treatments, and we just need you at home safe. And she said, she has had this long, beautiful, curly hair. And she said, and they said my hair is going to be gone. And I said, yes, it is. It's going to fall out, but it's just hair and it grows back. And she said, oh, okay. And so those were her kind of biggest questions of like, and in the mind of a 6-year-old, that, kind of what was going on. I'm not going to look the same, and I'm not going to do the same things that I've been used to doing. So those were her first questions surrounding all of that.
So then kind of take us through what happened the next couple of days and weeks and what family-wise and both medically, what procedures did Genevieve have to have and any surgeries that she's had at Arkansas Children's?
It being by the time we'd gotten all of this, it was a Friday. And so they didn't want to start anything over the weekend because they were going to try to just make this as easy as possible for her. To start all of this, she needed to have surgery to have a port placed. And then she also, one of the first treatments of a leukemia patient is to do a lumbar puncture to test the spinal fluid to see if there's cancer in the spinal fluid, as well as treat chemo into the spinal fluid. And then they needed to do a bone marrow biopsy to, give them more markers and determine the evidence of the disease there. And so they really worked hard to coordinate to be all of that under one anesthesia. So we really appreciated that. So we had the weekend to process as a family before really anything got started. Surgery and everything else, the chemo and all of that started on that Monday. So emotionally, it was kind of nice to have those couple of days before we just hit the ground running hard. And we were able to kind of get our minds wrapped around. And I was able, David and I were splitting time back and forth from the hospital because I was nursing the 6-month-old baby at the time. And we felt it was important that one of us were with our other boys instead of both of us staying there at the hospital with her. So we were rotating nights. And so, we were found it important that our boys both know what was going on with her and get to come see her. So that weekend allowed us some days for them to come see her and us kind of all process that together as a family before we hit the ground running. Because once surgery and bone marrow biopsy and lumbar puncture happened on Monday, some more chemo happened, and then she got more chemo on Thursday. And that at that point, we'd have been in the hospital a week, and then they sent us home. And that's when then we started the weekly treatments and coming back to clinic and in our, in the way of our plan there.
And you live an hour away. This is obviously a 2-hour commute back and forth with 3 young children at home. What was keeping you going during that time?
First of all, my people, I think it's important that you just have a tribe of people, in your corner to survive something like this. And we did. My parents actually live in Conway. So it was really, that was only about 30 minutes. So that was a nice halfway point. I stayed there a couple of nights, with the boys instead of having to go all the way home each time. That was helpful. But just have, our faith, knowing that the Lord was going to pull us through this, and that this was no surprise to him. A cancer diagnosis for our child was not a surprise for him, and that he had a purpose in this. And so just hanging on to our faith and to each other, and then we have so many people in our corner, and those were the things that were getting us through in that. And then physically for me, I knew because I was nursing a baby that I couldn't quit eating and couldn't quit drinking and couldn't quit going on. And so he, Miller, the baby, really helped me keep myself nourished, because that was my reminder that I have life to give to him too. So he kept me going physically. And then, just our faith and our people in our corner are what kept us going emotionally and mentally for sure.
What did her little brothers, what did they think was going on, and what were some of the things they were seeing or thinking?
You know, they were concerned, mostly that she had to stay in the hospital. It really, really disturbed them that our family was not able to all sleep together under the same roof for a little while. That seemed to be the hardest for them. But of course, we just kind of explained it to them that she's sick. This is what she has. It's called cancer. And our lives are going to look a little bit different, but we're going to, you know, pull together and do what we need to do. We kind of all preach to our kids a couple of sayings. One of that is that we can do hard things. So we reminded them, we can do hard things. This is going to be hard, but we can do it. And the other thing that is that we remind them that we're the best team that there is, and we're each other's teammates. And sometimes that means that we have to shift things around to support the other teammate. And that's what was going to happen in this journey, in this cancer journey. And then it was going to be long and it was going to be hard. But, you know, we had said that we can do hard things as a family, and that we are the best team that there is, and that we would need to shift things around sometimes to support each teammate, but that we could do it. And emotionally, they were a whole lot better. The boys were once we were all home together. So once she got home after that initial stay, you know, we were able to start navigating those things a little easier.
How, because then a couple months later, the pandemic hit. So how, if you could just talk just briefly about that, how that, and how, yeah, I guess how did that impact your visits here and just wanting to keep Genevieve as healthy as possible and keep your whole family healthy?
Right. So about when the pandemic hit is we had just kind of gotten to our own rhythm of protecting her, mask wearing, you know, not going anywhere. So those things didn't change a whole lot for us when the pandemic hit. But it did isolate us even more, you know, as far as allowing maybe people to visit or even attending church when her numbers were good. We stopped all those things. And so in a way, it was very isolating. You know, she was having a teacher come to her house to help with school, and now she wasn't. You know, so a lot of things changed. In our visits with children, it became harder because David and I were coming together, and we were able to bring the nursing baby with us, you know, for all of her treatments and for our lumbar puncture days, which were the days that she would have sedation, that we could both be together. And I particularly remember the first time that I brought her alone for sedation, and she went to sleep, and I stepped out in the hallways and realized I was alone. And that had never happened before. Anytime something like that had gone on, I had had a support person. David had been with me, or someone was able to be with me. And so that changed. And I think it made it harder for our boys too, because they would come a couple of times on clinic because we thought it was important for them to see what was going on. And so for them to not be apart, their biggest fear was, well, are you staying or are you coming back, or, you know, things like that. So the pandemic really changed our visits to children, which we totally understand, but it did make things harder. And then as far as just trying to keep her healthy, you know, I remember panicking a little bit, like getting groceries. Like, did I spray everything down? Did I wash everything the best? Because what, oh my goodness, what if I bring it home to her because I went to the grocery store? Or, you know, it's kind of a different thought process when you have a cancer child at home.
I can only imagine because just normally we're trying to keep clean and social distance, but having that added pressure of not bringing any virus germs home are just added onto everything else and being a mom and taking care of your other three little ones. Let's talk about how Genevieve is doing now and kind of what the next year plus looks like for her.
So now she's in the maintenance phase of her treatment, which is a little less strenuous than what it has been. So thankfully, she's kind of returned a little bit to herself. She has her energy back and feels good. She takes her chemotherapy pills at home now by mouth, and then she gets a big treatment in clinic every 3 months. And we go monthly to just check labs and get a refill on meds. And so that's a little bit more manageable than in getting this high dose IV chemo that we were getting weekly. And so that's made life resume a little bit normally for us. And this phase will go on until March of 2022. 22. So we've got, you know, a year and 3 months or whatever to still have in this phase. And that's kind of what the future looks like for us. But overall, it's a little bit more manageable because she feels better. Her numbers are higher. We're not as likely to return to the hospital due to fevers. We're not as likely to need blood products and things like that. And so it feels a little bit like normal life again.
Good. I know normal is, there's no normal now, but to know that at least your family is together under one roof is nice for everybody. What advice would you have for families who are going through something similar, maybe a new cancer diagnosis? What would you tell them?
I think I would say two things. One is that it can get really, really overwhelming when you think about everything that cancer encompasses and when you think about the big picture. So the best thing I think you can do is just do the next best thing. Just do what you need to do for your family and your child right now. And that's really how I kind of got through the everyday, because otherwise the emotions and just your thoughts would just take you down dark paths. And it was just sometimes just overwhelmingly too much. And so when you have a new cancer diagnosis or any serious diagnosis, I think just scaling back and thinking, okay, what do I need to do to get through today? Or what's the next best thing? And then secondly, you know, I truly think that we're people who need people. And I truly couldn't have gotten through this season without David and I banding together and having our faith to lean on, but also having people who just loved us so intentionally and lifted us up in prayer and sent us notes and cards and encouragement. Those were the things, those were the little things that I needed to get through the hard days. And so I think that, you know, needing people and having people in your corner is one of the, you know, biggest things that you can have to help you in a hard time.
And this is, we usually see families go from being families to advocates through this process. So do you see yourself as an advocate now?
I do. I think, you know, you kind of, until you experience it, you kind of keep things at arm's distance. You know, I had really never known anyone personally who had a child with cancer or had cancer. I knew some adults, but not a child. And so that kind of changes things. And so until it affects your family, then you feel the need to advocate for research and funding and, you know, just support people and be there for people. And it changes how you would help people in a difficult time. And I'm a social worker myself. And so now I'm even like, well, maybe my future is to be an oncology social worker or, you know, whatever I might be lining up to do this. But for sure, I think you become an advocate because it becomes so personal to you and you become so passionate about it.
So what are the holidays going to look like for your family this year compared to last year?
Well, it is still a little bit different because we're dealing with a pandemic and we are still trying to keep her healthy. But what we have learned is that life is short and it's bittersweet. And so we really are just working on focusing in on just the precious moments we can soak up as a family and the time we can do to reflect on what this season really is all about. And that's about Christ and about love and about family. And so we've even asked the kids to make a little Christmas bucket list of things that they for sure want to do and for sure want to experience. And we're just working to create those memories at home. But I think we have a season and a heart so much more of gratitude because she's still here for us to celebrate Christmas with. And we are so thankful that we owe that to the Lord for keeping her here and for Arkansas Children's Hospital for, you know, giving her the best care and the best chance at life.
Megan, thank you for sharing your story, for sharing Genevieve's story, especially the holidays are coming up. And I think it's a good reminder that how special family is and just to really enjoy this moment together. So thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to add to your story?
I just want to be sure to thank Arkansas Children's Hospital for their care and their love and their attention. We really can't give enough gratitude for how we've been treated, and for their efforts in helping save our daughter's life.
Thank you. That's perfect. Thank you again for sharing your story, and we hope you and your family have a really happy holiday.
Thank you. You too.
What an absolutely wonderful family, one that exhibited such strength during the most dire and worried time of their lives. A true Christmas miracle, with Genevieve getting the right diagnosis and the correct treatment so she can continue just being a kid. It really does put in perspective what Christmas and family truly mean. I got a feeling Genevieve will be getting all of the presents from Santa this year. Thanks for listening to the Live, Learn, and Play podcast, and we hope you have a safe and happy holiday. Look for a new episode that will air right before the end of the year as we sit down with a special guest and recap their experiences in the year that was 2020. Until then, stay safe and happy holidays.